Yeah, it was a quite an adventure. God's going to be doing something really cool today. The thing I keep hearing about this morning is God said, I send my word and heal them. Amen. My word comes to heal you, not control you. Amen. Say amen to you guys, right? Amen. And God sends his word to heal us. You know, we all go through our stuff, man. I mean, when I, you know, missing luggage is no big deal. When I came here, somehow my suitcase ended up in Maui. Maui, Hawaii. From here, Hawaii. And I'm like, so I went to the flight attendant. I said, could I go and get my suitcase? Can you guys give me first class tickets so I could get my suitcase in Maui? And then, but they didn't do it. Oh, well. But if I got my luggage back and I got new clothes at the meantime, they said, well, get what you need and we'll reimburse you. So I got new shoes, new T-shirts, new underwear, everything. The whole thing was new, man. It's awesome. Man, get rid of those 15-year things. Anyways, got it. it's really interesting that the times that we're living, that we live in. But you guys are such amazing people right here. You're amazing. I feel your faith. I feel your desire to say, God, you know, we don't want religion. Come on, amen, you guys. We don't want religion. We want Jesus. We want Christ in us to be manifested. And the gospel does not come and to give you good behavior. The gospel has nothing to do about acting good and being good and having good behavior and high morals. The gospel comes to give you a new identity. Come on, you guys, right? You are sons and daughters of the living God. Who thanks God for the cross of Jesus Christ now, right? And so you and I, we're all there. But so Holy Spirit, we just say, come. Come on, you guys. Open up your hands. Say, Holy Spirit, you teach me. Say, Holy Spirit, you teach me. Holy Spirit, you open my eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, you open my eyes to the absolute revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen, you guys? Wow, God is so good. I like to always start off with 1 John chapter 4. And my wife says hello. I am married. I don't have a, you know, invisible friend called wife, but she wants to come so bad. She really does, you know, but we're, you know, tied up again. And so we'll see. I have to set her free one day. Amen. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Say amen to that one, you guys, right? And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. Where? In us. Who? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Come on, amen, you guys, right? Wow. And sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Say amen to that one, you guys, right? And it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God is abiding in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us the Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Say amen to that one. Amen. Whoever confesses Jesus, Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Amen. But verse 16, we have come to know and have trusted or believed in the love that God has for us because God is love. Amen. The Holy Spirit in this room is convincing all of us one thing, that you are loved separate from all your actions. The Holy Spirit is convincing us right here. He is literally showing us on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis that you are loved separate from how well you're behaving. Because Jesus is the Christ, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended. Amen. You're loved. Come on, amen, you guys, right? And because, so here's what the Holy Spirit's doing. This is like my message for the rest of my life. The Holy Spirit is teaching us how to live loved every minute of the day. Live loved. Everyone say live loved. Live loved. And that's what it says, coming to know. You know, I spent most of my life, if you guys are with me and, you know, being a Christian for a long time, from living in the place that I was trying to attain and reach for something that is already inside of us. You guys know what I'm talking about? See, now this way of life, in my life, I am now solidifying truths that I've never seen before, and it's offending my religious brain. Okay? Because the love of God is being so revealed to me in a whole new way every single day that it's literally, I've seen the gospel so differently that I don't have to strive. We don't have to perform works. Christ is in us. Amen. He's not out there. We're not trying to get him in. He's inside right now wanting to come out. Come on, you guys. It's the same message. The Bible even says in John, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I used to always look at that word, the Holy Spirit comes in order to convict the world concerning sin. Then I'm like, well, we don't need the Holy Spirit for that. We know I'm a screw up. Am I the only sinner feeling this way? You guys know what I'm talking about? You don't need the Holy Ghost to show you that. But let me tell you what the original manuscript says about that. The Holy Spirit has come to convince you that sin is dealt with. There's nothing between us and the Father. It is done. So he's convincing you. What we call sin, man, it's like stinking religion. Sin is God says, I remember it no more. It's not even on my mind. So why is it on your mind? Well, the Holy Spirit's convicting. No, he's not. He's convincing. That word convict means convince with evidence. Convince with evidence. We ought to say to sin what God says about it. I remember that no more. Yeah. Say amen, you guys, right? Amen. So when we see that love, when we see this, this is something I have not mastered, but I'm pursuing it. Matter of fact, I ought to say love is pursuing me. I don't pursue love. You guys with me on that? So we are coming to know. Why do I say coming to know? We all are coming to know. It's like how high, how deep, how wide, and how long is the love of God. When we come into a place, I know God loves me. Man, there's gazillion more miles of his love. We haven't seen it all yet. So the Holy Spirit is convincing us. Man, you guys are sealed, redeemed, bought. Come on, amen, you guys, right? Never separated. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, what a good hope. Say amen to that one, right? So the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to live loved every minute of the day. Isn't that cool? Man, you can't, it's like, all right, we could talk about all kinds of other things, but let me tell you something. The goal, the Bible even says in Romans 5:5, and hope does not shame. God's hope does not shame because the love of God has been poured out within your hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And the word shame means always having the sense of always feeling short, falling short. It's the sense inside of me, I got to do more. I got to pray more. I got to fast more. I got to read the Bible more. I got to. No, you don't. I remember when I was really seeing more of this love of God, this perfect love of the Father. I remember saying, God, is there something I need to do to see this more? And he said, yeah, drop dead and let me love you. Die to your works, die to your religion things, die to your confession, die to your striving. Just attain what you've already been attained with. My perfect love is already in you. You guys getting this? Why is this important? Because the Bible says, if we speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, we become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Now, when I used to look at the word do not have, I used to go like, okay, before I prophesy, I'm going to love. Ooh, love, come up. Love. I love. Doing whatever it takes to love. Impossible. Don't look at me in the holy look. I'm fired up, you guys. It's impossible. What that verse is saying is, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, that word do not have is the word echo. It's a Greek word for echo. It means this: if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I am not echoing what's impacting me, which is love, my prophecy just falls to the ground. It's being impacted. Say amen, you guys, right? Like in 1 John 4, when it says, the one who does not love does not know God. Again, it sounds so negative, but it's the Greek translate. When the Bible went from Greek to English, Latin to English, something, words got mixed up. That word do not have, again, is the word echo. Hear this verse out in 1 John 4:8. The one who is not being impacted by this love that's from God, echoing it. In other words, the one who has not been impacted by God's love, we have yet to come to know him. Isn't that cool? We have yet to come to know him. I mean, really know him. Not know about he's up there, he created and everything else. No, he's in you. Say amen to you guys, right? Oh, Lord, you are so good. So, I want to really encourage you here because, you know, the Bible even says in if the eye be single, you know, the whole body would be full of light. Who remembers that scripture? You know, if your eye is single, your whole body would be full of light. You know, that word single, if your eye, the word eye means internal understanding. Everyone say internal understanding. Understanding that's inside of you that you really see. You see it from the inside before you all ever see it in the outside. So the word I, when you see the word I, it means the internal knowing. You see it. Come on, say amen, you guys, right? So if the I be single, your body be full of light. The word single is the word to iron out the wrinkles. You know, the older I get, I wish I could iron these things out. You know, I'm turning 65 soon. I'm like, oh my God, I'm 65. I'm an old booger. Anyways, easy, Gary. So if your understanding doesn't have wrinkles, your body is going to be full of light. And this is what it means. On this folded piece of paper, I have inside of you this perfect, perfect word that's for you, and that you are loved. And the only way to see it is if you could unfold, come and say amen, you guys, right? The wrinkles. Some of us, we only see God's love just a little bit, but God says, listen, I need to iron some things out for you. You need to see all of my love. Come on, amen, you guys, right? The religion will say, oh, no, man, you got to do something. Do. We're not here to do. Come on, you guys with me on this? The do-do list. Do this, do that, do this, do. No, man. Wow. I'm having fun with you guys. It's hard for me to go where the message I want to go to until you know you are loved separate from anything else. Say amen. You can't unlove. You cannot be unloved. Impossible to be unloved. You are love perfect. You guys getting this? It's amazing how much the Bible makes sense. It's amazing how life makes sense. Amen? So if the eye be single, if that eye of singleness, of of love, when the Holy Spirit irons out the wrinkles, that we are coming to know, that we are coming to know this love, your body will exude Jesus like you've never seen before. Amen, or me, you guys. No, man, we got to sing loud. No, you don't. Drop dead. I'm serious. It's like the moment we say, no, I got to read. How about just say, you know what, God, I'm going to sit here on this chair. I'm not going to open up my Bible. I'm not going to go, kurabadaba, and I'm not going to worship. I'm going to be the object of your love right now. You know what? God shows up. Because you are so leaning on him that he so perfectly loves you. You guys got that? Man, I want to get to my message. You know what's really cool? You know, somebody asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? So Jesus asked somebody, what's the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You guys remember that? And that's in the book of Deuteronomy. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And I'm going to say something. It's impossible to love God. That's how religions start. Religions start because they're trying to love God. Look at Hamas. Look at all the terrorists. They said, we love Allah, God. You can't love God. It's impossible to love God. You can't do it. You mean like, you guys look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. This is what set me free. I try to love God. Man, let's fast. Let's go to a prayer meeting. I try to love God. Let's go to the conferences. I spent so much money on conferences, I could have bought 2 homes by now. Seriously. I'm trying to love God. And then love your enemies. Okay, I'm going to love God by loving my enemies. You can't do it. You can't love God until you know you are loved by him first. Say amen, you guys, right? Impossible. Amen. But because you and I are, in the feminine sound, that you and I receive love in order to be love. You can't love God until you know you're loved by him. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Man, so many religions start, so many denominations. I love God, man, look out, you know, and they see people speaking in tongues, and I believe in that. Don't get me wrong. You know, keep doing that. You know, but there's two types of worshipers I've noticed. I've been doing the full-time ministry since I'm 23 years old, 65 now, almost 65. And I've noticed there's two types of worshipers. Ones who are impacted by the love of God and the ones who have yet to be impacted by the love of God. One sounds like they're crying. The other one is rejoicing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Because we're blinded and the wrinkles have to be worked out. I'm not going to judge people over that. I was there, been there, done that. Scream, shouted, hooting, hollering, and ran around the church. You know, trying to bring God in. You know, guys, what I'm talking about? And then when I finally saw, my God, your love has never fluctuated. It never changed. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. It's there. You displayed in that while that God demonstrates his own love towards us. In that while we are yet sinners, Jesus still died for us. Guys, you guys know what I'm talking about? And so I remember I told sat next to a world religion person in the airplane last year. I think I told this story already. And trust me, he fasts, you know, 3 times a week. He prays 3 times a day. And I said, let me ask you a question. After you do all this, why do you do this? He goes, I love God. I love God. I says, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt that you've been loved by him? And he said, no. Can you imagine? He's in his 30s praying 3 times a day. I'm trying to find a corner, bowing down towards the east or west, whatever it is. Then fast 7 days a week. And he says, I've never felt the love of God. We don't even talk about love. He's God. We all bow. That's not love. You guys know what I'm talking about? I think God just wants us to rest. Come on, say amen, you guys, right? Everyone say rest. Say rest. I remember sitting next to a person again. They said, you go to church? Yeah, but I don't go to that church anymore because they don't love me. Really? I don't go to that church anymore because they don't love me. Man, lady sitting here, because I love sitting by the window, I leaned over and looked in her face. I said, who in the world told you that the church is supposed to love you? If you go loved, it doesn't matter if they love you or not. You guys got that? Well, they had bad worship. I don't like their worship. Who in the world told you that you go in order to worship God? It doesn't matter what style of music. If you're loved, it doesn't matter if they sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. You're going to get into it. You're going in loved. Come on, amen, you guys, right? I'm telling you, these debates is because most of us, we don't know we're as loved as we are. Isn't God good? So Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Come on, amen, right? Say, Holy Spirit. Man, even I just did marriage counseling for somebody. They're about to get married. I said, don't do it. Amen. You know why I told them don't do it? Both of them said on separate occasions, I'm not sure if God loves me. Because if you're not sure that God loves you so perfectly, you already know what to be to that spouse that you're about to marry. You go in marriage loved by God, and it doesn't matter what they do. Come on, say amen, you guys, or say, you don't look for their love anymore because you're impacted by his love. Come on, say amen, you guys, right? Man, is this encouraging you? Is this? Say amen, you guys, right? Man, when they say, man, you know, I'm not sure if my husband loves me, man, because, you know, he hasn't said love me. Last time I heard it was on the altar. I'm like, big deal. Christ in you is the greater love. If you know that you are loved by God, I promise you, you're going to bring something into that marriage that's going to bring transformation. Amen. Expect nothing in return. Isn't that cool? Amen. You guys will look at me like, it's almost hard, too good to be true, but it's true. He perfectly, thank you. This love is in me. Say, this love is in me. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then I'm going to. Oh, I still got time. You guys encouraged? Because I just want to exhort you because I know you already know these things. But man, if the eye be single, our confidence of being a Christian is not in the fact how right we are doctrinally. That is not the confidence. I hang out with pastors every week, every Thursday afternoon. I hang out with these pastors from even a Jehovah's Witnesses hanging out with us. I know I already told the story, but even a Jehovah's Witnesses hanging out with these young pastors and older pastors and fire evangelists. And so we have open table debate, which we don't attack each other. We just attack each other's ideas, right? And so, are you a Calvinist, and are you a Arminianist, are you a Pentecostal, and everything else? And I said, listen, the moment we start labeling people, that's the accuser of the brethren, amen. Right? So we have an agreement. We will not label, well, Ed's Pentecostal. Of course he's going to believe in tongues and everything else. No, you just labeled me. That's the accuser of the brethren. You guys with me on this? You're a Baptist, you're this, you're, you know. No, no labeling. I'm going to say no labeling. The Batsawad says every principality. I'm going to say principality. That word principality is the word label. Every label is under the feet of Jesus. There's no man, no woman, no rich, no poor, no slave, no free. All are in Christ, and Christ is all in them. Come on, amen, you guys, right? So we have a, right away, no labeling. One guy's an Arminius. No more labeling. That's like when someone calls me apostle, you accuse me. Okay, here we go. This is what I mean. Oh, you're an apostle. Well, that means you boxed me in and that's all you're going to get. Christ is bigger than that label. What if God wants to use me to heal you? You're going to call me healer? You boxed me in again. What if God wants to use me to prophesy over you? Then you're a prophet. You boxed me in. Christ in us is the hope. Come on, amen, guys, right? Not the giftings. Shabba. No, I believe in, you know, calling people pastor, but I'm like, no, you just limited me. What if God wants to be using me as a teacher? The Holy Spirit's much more broader than these little positions. Amen. Say amen, you guys, right? Amen. God is greater than all the boxes. And then after we debate, and I always end our debate, I said, it is so good to know that has us being loved has nothing to do how we believe. It's so good to know. Us being loved has nothing to do what your doctrines are saying to you. Say amen, you guys. You know, the greatest discipleship classes I've ever seen are the ones who are radically in being impacted by God's love. Amen, right? And so, well, that's what the church is. The church are a group of people who've been impacted by the love of God. Well, what must we do to get God to love us? Nada. Nothing. He's done it all. Amen. It's right. Now, here's the deal. Once you see that you've been impacted by his love, you'll start to order your life accordingly then. You know, it's like a friend I had a conversation with. If God is love, man, could I get a pound of pot and drink a gallon of whiskey? And then I said, well, if you want to, but I guarantee you feel like crap the next day, but that'll never change his love towards you. You mean I could still go and sin and everything else? I said, let me tell you, if you know from in your heart instead of a paper on the wall that God is love, if you know that's been written in your heart, you're going to order your life accordingly. Amen. You're going to, it's kind of like, who needs that anymore? Isn't that really cool? That's why I love watching my kids grow up. I have a 20-year-old now, you know, and he knows everything. So, you know. So, you guys know what I'm talking about. And then finally, he just says, you know, I'm tired of church. So he doesn't go anymore. So the reason you're tired of church because you don't know you're loved. That's it. If you knew you're loved, who cares? You guys with me on this? If you know you're loved by God, you're going to want to be with God's people. It doesn't matter the flaws and bad hair day, good hair days coming along and everything. Dandruff, you know, from my beard. I'm growing this beard. I get dandruff everywhere. Anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter. God is love. Let me say God is love. Oh, isn't God good? So we are a company of people. Our purpose in life is not to love God. Our purpose in life is not to change the world. Oh, please hear me. I'm talking about purpose. Our purpose in life is not to see the kingdoms of the earth become the kingdoms of our God. Our purpose in life is not to see the knowledge of God cover the earth. Our purpose in life is to let yourself be loved by him, and then you will change the world. Amen. Isn't that cool? Yes. You will change the world knowing you're loved. Amen or oh me. Some of us, you know what? Let's get real. You say, well, that's hard for me to believe. Then tell the Father that. God doesn't love you so you could be potentially good one day. He loves you right in our darkness. He loves us right in our confusion. He's right there in our mixed up thinking. He's right there with you. Amen? Man, if you could see that, no, man, I got... Anyways, jumping ahead. So, man, I want to tell you, the gospel does not come, again, to change behavior. The gospel comes to reveal the love of God, not demanding to love God. You guys got that? That guy sitting next to me said, you want to feel the love of the Father? Because we can't call him Father. See, yeah, you can call him Father. You're his son, and you can't unson yourself. You guys with me? He's not a distant father that goes to work 15 hours a day and then comes home and gives you a meal and then goes to bed. No, he's inside of you, loving you. He goes, but I can't. Are you telling me I don't have to pray? I said, that's right. Boy, he got mad. Are you telling me all my fast? Are you telling me this? Are you telling me that my religion is wrong? I'm like, how do I answer this one, Holy Spirit? You got to have to. Said, no. All religions are wrong because every religion ends at the cross. Every religion. And every self-effort, every self, whatever you try to do to bring God in, it ends at the cross. You step through the cross. Now you have life. Say amen, you guys, right? You guys seeing this or no? God is good. Someone say God is good. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I love this house because you guys are so equipped for it. So the gospel comes, man, let me tell you. The gospel comes to persuade you of what God is already persuaded about. He's love. I have lunch this week again with the homeless people that I like to hang out with. They're homeless. They want to be homeless. Trust me. I tried, you know, hooking up a home apartment. They said, no, we like it. We just want to live like this way. They said, man, you don't judge us because you're not trying to persuade us to change. He says, I don't want to change you. I can't change you. I could only point you to the love of God and let God's love change you. Come on, amen, you guys, right? One of them got a job. Isn't that really cool? That Dunkin' Donuts. Man, I said, thank God, man. Bring some donuts to me. 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, but abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I'm going to say faith, hope, and love. There are three things that heaven anticipates. There's three things that angels anticipate. There are three atmospheres that heaven looks for towards us. And that's the atmosphere of faith, the atmosphere of hope, and the atmosphere of love. Come and amen, you guys, right? Amen. And so he says, but the greatest, let me say greatest. The greatest is love. Now, when I looked up that word greatest, I decided, because I love doing word search. There's a cool app called Bible Hub. Man, get that app because it has the interlinear translation, and I'm going to say this before, the interlinear translation means it's the exact translations and how the original manuscripts were written. They didn't add the adjectives and other ad words and trying to guess. It's exactly the same way. So that word greatest is the Greek word for megas or mega. It means of time. The greatest of these, or the of time before time began. This is what it means. Greatest. Before time began, there was love. Amen. The word greatest means the great influence before anything. Before anything was created in time, love was there. Amen. You don't need faith in heaven. Right? You don't need hope in heaven. Isn't that cool? So love was before all time. Other words, big, large, great, mighty, loud. I love that one, loud. I'm really loud. My wife says, I mean, you talk too loud. The loudest of the three, faith, hope, and love, the loudest is love. Isn't that really cool? It also means marvelous and awesome, intense. The word violent, I love that one. Faith, hope, and love, and the violent one is love. Splendid, magnificent, wonderful, noble, distinguished, eminent, illustrious, powerful, wide of category, joy. Say amen, you guys, right? Grand, stately. And the greatest, before time began, was love. And yet we work so hard to get faith. We work so hard to get hope when love is what brings those other two in. Am I making sense, you guys? No, you got to have faith. Pooey. No, you don't. First, get loved. I promise you one thing. When you're loved, I promise you there will be faith. Isn't that beautiful? You guys encouraged? You getting encouraged out there? Man, you know, let's talk about faith for a second. There are two faiths, the abiding faith and the act of faith. And when I talk about the love of God, I'm talking about the abiding faith. The abiding faith, according to Scripture, is who you are in God and who is God in you. That's called the abiding faith. Then from that abiding faith, knowing that you are loved, comes the act of faith. You guys got that? So when you know you are loved, you just don't sit there and do nothing with your hands in your pocket. When you know you're loved, you're going to love. You're going to be involved. We're going to be involved in people's lives. Amen, right? And so there's the abiding faith. So in the abiding faith, the act of faith, though, like healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, it rests on the shoulders of the abiding faith, who you are in God and who God is in you. Isn't that wonderful? Becoming love is something that happens through communion. There's something about taking time and saying, you know what, God, for the next 5 minutes, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to go to that love through the cross and blood of Jesus. Amen, you guys, right? And the only way to have communion, now hear me out on this, in this love. The only way to have communion with the Father, interaction of talking to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, the only action, the only way is that your conscience is clear. No guilty conscience. Am I making sense right there? You see yourself the way God sees you. Come on, amen, right? That's what it says in Colossians 3:4. With Christ, who is our life, when he's revealed, you will be revealed with him in glory. What does that mean? Well, is that talking about the second coming of Jesus? No, it's not the way we think what the second coming means. What that is saying is when you see Christ revealed in you, you start to see yourself perfectly the way he sees you. That's what it means. Say amen, you guys, right? Perfect, without guilty conscience. You have to see yourself to have communion. We have to see ourselves the way God sees us and the way God sees us, that we are perfectly innocent in his sight. Man, you don't know what I did yesterday, man. I flipped off this car, man. He cut me right off, and I cussed right at him. And God says, I didn't see that. Okay, here you go. I'm not going to measure you by what you just did. I'm measuring you with my love. You are measured by my love, not how you act. That's some of us hard to believe. Why is that? Religion hates this. Like the guy sitting, he got upset that I told him your works meant nothing. Because you are perfectly loved now, the way you are now. Then at the end of the flight, he says, what do I need to get this love? He says, his name is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of the living God. Turn to him. I promise you, your life will never be the same. Isn't that beautiful, you guys? Man, turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking brighter. Go ahead, say that right now. Say, you're looking brighter. I love it, says Colossians 1:22. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. Amen to that one, right? And say, he has now. Say now. The Greek word for now means now. Now, this moment, this second, this is moment. Now you are reconciled. You've been de-otherized. Which, in other words, yeah, you were lost, but now you are found. Come on, say amen to that one, right? in order to present you holy, blameless, and without accusing. Did you hear that? The word present means concentrated gaze. God has one concentrated gaze towards you. Only one. Holy, blameless, and unaccused. Isn't that cool? No, man, you know, if you start doing that, man, we got to tell them that God's the God to judge. We've already been judged. We've been judged on the cross already. Amen. Say amen, guys, right? Sin's already been judged. This is cool. Man, if we violate our conscience, if we feel like we're going to have shipwrecked faith, our faith will become shipwrecked. There's no bold approach. Innocence. Innocence is the beginning of a relationship. See, many of you guys, right? Turn to the person next to you and say, you are innocent, right? And what's, now, communion, having time with Jesus. At best, when people, if it's for them hard to see this, they're going to enjoy God somewhat more of a corporate gathering church setting than being alone with him. Because when your conscience is violated, it shipwrecks your faith, and it shipwrecks your abiding faith. Say amen, you guys, right? Be confident in his presence face-to-face in his faith, not yours. Okay, here we go. I'm going to throw a curveball that changed my life. Galatians 2:20. And this is really cool. And then I'm going to start landing the plane because the chicken wings are going to be ready for me. I don't know if we're going to... Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. Everyone say, I have been crucified. Can I tell you something? You've all been crucified with Jesus. It wasn't just a singular man dying on the cross named Jesus Christ. It wasn't a one-man event. You were on the cross with him. That's how all these things are with him. You've been nailed with him. Same in that one, right? Also, you've been raised from the dead with him. Come on, same in that one, right? I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Where does Christ live? He lives in you. And the life which in I love, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, right? I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, here's a curveball misinterpretation. The original manuscripts does not say I live by faith in the Son of God, as if the faith has to come from you and to put it in him. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like, okay, I gotta have faith. Okay, here's an apple. I made it. You know, we're trying to have faith in order to be saved, right? No. The original translation is this. I live by the faith of Jesus towards me. It's his faith towards me that I live. I don't live by my faith towards him. That's all through the New Testament. All through the New Testament. We live by the faith that came from Jesus, not your faith towards him, his faith towards you. I'm going to let that drip in a little bit. I remember the first time I said that, people said, I don't believe it. 3 months later, now I see it. So I'm watering some seed here. You know, you'll see it. Because the moment, our rest isn't because you had faith. Because it's like putting your faith is your savior. Your faith's not your savior. His faith is. That's pretty hard to imagine, isn't it? But that's a wrestling match worth wrestling. Because after that comes rest. After that comes signs and wonders. After that comes loving your enemies. Come and say amen, you guys, right? So we live by the faith of Jesus, not faith in him. We live by his faith, and then you will have faith. What's that? You want to read it?
It's in Hebrews 11:38. It says, and he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. He says this, my righteous ones will live from my faith. And that's in the Passion.
10, what is that? 11:38. So we live by his faith, not ours. Once you start, say, Holy Spirit, help me with this. Say, Holy Spirit, help me with this. I love, anyway, so we could read about him. We could sing songs about him. But you're having relationship then from a distance. Try doing that in a car by yourself with him. Amen, you guys, right? He just loves you. Say, turn the person. Man, he loves you no matter what you do. Amen, right? 10:38. That was Hebrews 10:38. You might say, I just want to feel his love. You know, I get that. How about believe his love? Right? Because only then you'll be safe to feel his love. Let me tell you, because if you don't believe in his love, hear me out in this. If you don't believe in his love because you don't feel him, what's going to happen is you're going to go from one feeling and then let down, another feeling, then let down. That's called being sensual. That's called living by your senses. But when we come to the truth, nothing will separate me from the love of God, whether you feel it or not. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Man, you don't know what I did. I'm a bad person. Nothing will separate you. Come on, amen, right? And that, I'm telling you, it brings such a rest. Now, I'm telling you, God comes to you, and I'm going to end. I hope you guys feel exhorted a little bit, built up. God comes to you where we are not. I'm telling you, people think, well, God comes to us so he could take me where I should be. Can I tell you something? God doesn't should on you.
What was that?
God doesn't should on you. You should do this. You should that. He meets us right where we are, not where he expects us to be.
Amen.
Amen. All of this abiding faith, man, with God, there is no record of wrong because I've seen the cross. I've seen the blood. I've seen the ascension. Every say with me, say, Lord Jesus, give me revelation of your incarnation, of your crucifixion, of your ascension. If I see that, then I'll see love. Amen or omen, you guys, right? So I hope I stimulated you to love. I hope I stirred you. I hope the Holy Spirit, that when he came in, that you are the apple of his eye, that because he proved it on the cross, you can't take that away. Man, you guys are looking a lot better. Turn to the neighbor and say, I think you just lost weight. Say that right now. I think you just lost weight. And in closing, seriously, this is the closing part. And here's the thing that set me free. I have come to realize that we don't have an exclusive of God's love. Christians and worldly, saved, lost, heathen, Christian. You guys, we do not have an exclusive. This set me free. The word exclusive means unshared, exclusive to anyone else. Us and them, we don't have an exclusive in God's love. You guys with me on that? This is why I have to forgive. I don't forgive because it's like, it's a special thing to do because I forgive you because God told me to. You know, I forgive you, you stinking little. You know, in other words, it's like, oh, don't give me that holy look, you people. In other words, I know. I forgive you. In other words, it's like, don't give me that stuff, man. The only way you could forgive is when you know how forgiven you are. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? 70 times seven. That's every second of the day. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about? See, there's something inside of us. Now, hear me out. This is really good. This has set me free from having bitterness and being free from bitterness of people who treated us the wrong way. Doesn't matter what their category they named you in. But there's something inside of us that wants to believe that God loves me in this conflict more than he loves them. There's something in us that wants to believe that. You know, it was gloriously devastating. I remember the devastation I felt that I don't have an exclusive on God's love. I went to Africa 4 times. When I was in Africa, I was looking at the people. Let me tell you, I went to the heart of some stuff. I was looking at the people that had no clue. They've never heard the gospel. They acted like it. They talked like it. And I literally felt this power inside of me that God loves me as much as he loves them. There's power in that. I don't have the exclusive, like some private inside track. You guys with me? God loves all. I'm in the all, and you're in the all. Come and say amen, you guys, right? And the moment, hear me out, the moment I start to think that they are loved less, then the media question is, then I don't know if I'm that loved. That's forgiveness of our trespasses as we forgive their trespasses. Remember that verse? I'm talking about the love of God here. How many people have been offended today? You've been offended today? Wow, you guys are holy. Man, you guys are perfect people. How about yesterday? Anyways, it sounds like I've forgiven them, so God, you got to forgive me. And that's what it sounds like. It's saying, if you don't see that you're forgiven in this micro moment, the same as they are forgiven, we haven't seen forgiveness yet. We haven't seen perfect love yet. If you don't love your brother, the Bible says we're still in darkness. There's still wrinkles. Am I making sense here? I feel like I stepped on holy toes just now. Man, if I could never speak of God loving me without saying in the same breath that he loves them. We can't reduce God as the one who takes sides. That's my point. Amen, you guys? I'm telling this love. So how do you bless those who curse you? This is how you bless those who curse you. We believe and see that God is on their side as much as he is on your side. When you see that, you could bless those who curse you. This is a true story. And then we'll go home and eat. The mafia guy from, not Hungary, Poland. He was a mafia. He killed people. You know, he literally killed people. And so he didn't like doing that anymore. You know, people got him mad. This is his testimony. He came to a church service. He heard about the love of God. He says, I'm not even close to this love. I don't know if I'm loved. So I'm going to come and stand before God. God, am I loved by you? And the love of God came all over him. Fast forward 2 years. The guy now is a deacon in the church. That thug. You guys know what I'm talking about? He's a deacon in the church. He's a leader in the church. Well, one of the guys offended him. His first reaction was, get my gun. This is what he said. Get my gun. That was his first reaction. But he was vigilant. He was vigilant in the love of God to say, I can't do that because I'm loved now. And if I'm loved now, I'm going to love him. You guys with me on this? I promise you, the goal isn't let's have more faith. The goal is, man, just let yourself be loved. And I promise you, faith will come. That's the abiding faith of God that I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted us to exhort you in today. You guys feel encouraged today? Turn to the person and say amen. Say amen, right? Man, and that's your identity. The gospel is not calling people to good behavior. Man, those homeless dudes, you're like, man, you never told us to behave. Man, I can't even behave myself sometimes. What am I telling you to behave? But Gary's my close friend here. And he's going to see Jesus later. No, kidding, no. Your identity is that you're loved. I remember the airline stewardess, what's your pronoun? Yeah. What's your pronoun? I said, what do you mean my pronoun? I never thought of it. You know, I said, what do you mean pronoun? And I said, if this is a pronoun, My pronoun is, I'm loved by God, and so are you. So, well, my pronoun is this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I don't know what she said, kind of letters. So, no, that's not your pronoun. You're known by being loved by God. And I promise you, you start ordering your life when you see the cross. You start to order your life, your mind. You know why people are losing their identity? Because they have lost sight of God loving them. They have lost sight. I promise, love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen? You guys look loved. You are loved. We are loved. Say, I live loved. Say, I live loved. I live loved. And man, if you, now, I have a relative that rubs me wrong. How many people have that uncle that comes over for Christmas that you like, thank God, and it comes once a year? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like, I'm talking, I don't know how many times I had to keep saying to myself, I'm loved, now I can love. Amen? God bless you.